Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully the audio is coming through okay in video. We are on Zoom here. My name is Rob Gleason. I am the chapter chair of the Santa Clarita Valley chapter for the Aerospace and Defense Forum. And today I'm excited to share with you our topic on COVID-19, enabling or disabling company value by Larry O'Toole. And we'll introduce Larry here in a few minutes. So I want to welcome everybody. We typically do these in person, but with the current epidemic, we are now doing these online. And a little bit about where we're located and typically where we hold our sessions. So Santa Clarita is about 30 miles just north of Los Angeles, and we have a little graphic there. Many of you know where Six Flags Amusement Park is, so we're actually just directly across from that. And we have a beautiful facility that we meet at, and we're on a pause here temporarily, but we'll get back to it, on the College of Canyons campus at the University Centers there. So wonderful facility, and we meet there monthly to have these chapter sessions. We are sponsored. Let's make sure this is coming through okay. Not sure if you can see, I've got a split screen here a little bit. So our sponsorship is through Wells Fargo and the Santa Clarita Economic Development Corporation. Holly Schroeder is one of the members on our steering committee. I want to also mention that we have 15 people on our steering committee that help us bring these chapter sessions together. So I want to thank all of them for their participation. We tend to stand up around the room and introduce ourselves, but we don't have that opportunity today. So I wanted to give a few moments to Holly Schroeder, the CEO and president of SCVEDC. Holly?
Well, thank you, Rob, and welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us this morning virtually, as it seems that everything has become of late. As Rob said, Santa Clarita Valley, and you can see on the map there, is about 30 miles north of downtown Los Angeles, for those of you that are coming to us from areas outside of L.A., the immediate L.A. area. Welcome. And we started this chapter last fall. We want to thank Rob for his leadership and Ivan for working with us because we have a very strong cluster of aerospace and defense companies in the area. And we've been working with them and supporting them with some events throughout the year, but really felt that there was just an increased appetite for more connection and relationship building between the companies in the Santa Clarita Valley. We have companies, you know, from large companies, ITT and ADI, you know, there's a whole lot of large companies, as well as a tremendous number of small suppliers, machine shops that work in the aerospace defense industry, and they were very interested in building stronger relationships. And so we partnered up with Ivan and the ADF to do these monthly meetings, which began last fall, and then last month started moving to being virtual meetings. And I think that's part of what the Economic Development Corporation's mission is to build those connections, build those relationships between our companies. We are a public-private partnership between the city of Santa Clarita, the county of Los Angeles, our academic institutions like the College of the Canyons, which does a lot of workforce training, and then the private sector. And we come together really to, traditionally has been to try to grow jobs. Right now we're trying to hold on to jobs and help our companies survive in the uncertainty that has been created by the COVID-19 crisis. Because we have all of those relationships between our government institutions, our academic, and our private sector, we were really quick to work with our businesses as the stay-at-home orders started coming out to help people interpret what was happening, understand how it affected their businesses, what the new rules of the road were going to be, how to navigate within the Santa Clarita Valley should their employees have issues. And that's really, we're there as a one-stop resource for our companies and to be, to really answer questions, troubleshoot problems, and really just help us navigate. And I think that now the resources from the EDC and the networks that have been created through the ADF are more important than ever. as we are learning from each other about how to adapt in this very rapidly changing world. So I'm very much looking forward to Larry's presentation this morning. I think it is, you know, these are questions that every business is asking itself. So thank you again. If you have questions about Santa Clarita Valley or anything that we do, certainly do not hesitate to reach out to me. But I just want to thank you for joining us. Thank our steering committee members and Larry for joining us today. And Rob, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay. There's the automation. Okay. Thank you, Holly. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your sponsorship. Without the Santa Clarita Valley Economic Development Corporation, we wouldn't be as successful as we have been. And just as a side note, we started our chapter almost a year ago. So we're excited to continue this even through this pandemic. So just a few moments about, you know, who we are on the Aerospace Defense Forum. I know we have a lot of folks here online that may not be familiar about us. So, you know, the forum was founded by Dr. Ivan Rosenberg, who is online, and we want to thank him for all his great work and continued work. And Robert Jacobson, about almost 10 years ago. We have facilities, you know, over 2,400 members, where we facilitate communication, collaboration, and commerce relative to aerospace and defense. We have 8 chapters currently, many located here in Southern California. So Santa Clarita Valley, as we just mentioned, we have a chapter in Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley, the South Bay, Orange County, San Diego. So I think we've got the central and south areas well-defined here in California, but we also have chapters in Arizona and Dallas-Fort Worth, with a couple more maybe coming online here within the next year or so. So, you know, regionally located, where we're doing kind of face-to-face relative to our industry. We conduct monthly meetings. We have a presentation by an industry leader like Larry today, and we also in the past have hosted tours. So obviously that's on a pause here at this moment, but we're excited about maybe getting back to that in future months. So, you know, membership is $350 a year, $25 per chapter session for non-members. If you're located in a region outside of those areas that I just mentioned up above, to join in online is free. We're really trying to encourage collaboration, and what a unique opportunity to do that in a kind of a close-knit way. And there's some pictures down below. We have a number of different facilities. As you can see, when we do get back together as people, this is a wonderful opportunity to network and to work with your peers. Okay. So now the featured presentation. We're excited to have Larry online. I know he's down in Orange County, and we've been working this through the computer for the last week or so. So want to thank Larry for joining us. You know, Larry joined us today with over 20 years of experience as a CEO of engineering, manufacturing, and service businesses. He recently founded Yosemite Associates and introduced his Bank Your Moment campaign to help company owners take away the uncertainty of what steps they should be taking now to help lead to future euphoric exit events. Of course, we have something pretty eventful here the last couple of months, and will stay with us likely for many months and years to come. You know, previously Larry was part of industry. He was CEO of Sanders Industry, which is an aerospace and defense forum company. He's also been involved with other companies in the industrial segment. So he brings a wealth of knowledge, and you know, he's brought forward a lot of strategic elements. So I think we can all remember the financial crisis in 2008, 2009. And I think Larry's going to draw from some of those aspects. So with that, Larry, I'll turn it over to you. Before I do, just as a side note, questions, if you have questions, please in the chat function of Zoom, type those in, and I'll be monitoring those, and I'll be raising those questions on your behalf at the conclusion of the presentation. I also want to note that this will be recorded, and we will be posting this with other presentations on our website that I'll be sharing later. So with that, Larry, I will stop sharing.
Okay.
And turn it over to you.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, everybody.
It is wonderful to be with everybody, albeit virtually in cyberspace. I do remember the good old days when a speaker would get invited and you could jump up on stage and wave your arm and say hello to everybody. So it is a pleasure to be with everybody. I do want to confirm that during this session, we are going to practice social distancing. So please look down and make sure you're 6 feet away from your video camera, your microphone, and your keyboard. And I know many of you have also started receiving your new company masks emblazoned with your company logos. So please feel free to wear those as well during this, the webinar. My message and my theme for our webinar this morning is to, the message is simply this: building your company worth or building your company value never gets put on hold, even during a crisis like COVID-19. And back in early March, I was with the business owner that I'm helping on his journey to build his company worth so that he can be euphoric when he goes to exit one day. And he said to me, with all of this that's now happening, Larry, do we put this on hold? What do we do? And my comment to him was, now is not the time to put the building of your company value or your company worth on hold. But what we will be doing is toggling back and forth between protecting the worth of your business while also looking for opportunities to build the worth of your business. COVID-19 reminds us as business owners that we need a playbook for lots of things. And this is an added part of our playbook that we need is how to address managing a crisis, handling a pandemic. So this webinar this morning, my intent is to give you very recommended actions and steps that you could and should be taking now to both protect the worth of your current business, but also look for opportunities to build the worth of your business. One of my favorite things to do with my businesses when I was CEO was whenever we were faced with an important decision or a situation that we were trying to face, is we would say to ourselves, all right, let's play this movie forward. Pick up the imaginary remote control and play forward all the different scenes that this movie could play out. And doing so helped us make more effective decisions because it allowed us to see what scenarios and what contingency plans we might need to have in place. And we especially did that when it came to looking and managing decisions that could affect the worth of our business going forward. Now, many of you on this webinar this morning are thinking, I might want to sell my business in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years. Some of you are probably saying, I wish I sold it back last year. But the reality is you're still thinking about how you want to exit your business one day. And what you want to be doing is playing this COVID-19 movie forward and put yourself in the mind of a future investor, a future banker, and a future acquirer, and what are they going to be asking themselves about your business? As you can see on the screen right now, there's just a couple of examples of the mindset that the future acquirer of your business is going to have. Did this company make decisions during COVID-19 that are impacting our thinking of the valuation that we place on this business as an acquirer? Did COVID-19 expose this company as yesterday's news? This was a great company years ago, but COVID-19 exposed issues that mean this is a very challenged company for the future. And lastly, they're going to be saying to themselves, given what happened with COVID-19, does this owner have realistic value expectations, given how they may have navigated, what decisions they made during COVID-19? So as we play this movie forward and we're still in this crisis, I want you thinking in terms of, let me play some of these decisions that I have to make forward and think through the impact it could have on my business. Now, what are some of the decisions that we're being faced with today? And quite frankly, it's not that we're getting new decisions we have to make. And as executives, we've always been good at making decisions, But what's different now is the speed at which these decisions are coming at us and the fact that they're coming at us simultaneously. That's what's making this a little bit more challenging, much more challenging. And our job as business owners, business leaders, is to make sure we have a filter for knowing which of these questions we're facing, which ones will have little to no impact on the worth of your company, and therefore make sure you don't spend much time on them, versus knowing which decisions you're being faced with could impact the near-term, or even more importantly, the long-term worth of your company, and make sure you're looking at the decision through that lens as well. As you can see on the screen, hopefully in front of you, some of the questions that we're being faced with now. A lot of people on the webinar might have too much of a reliance on Boeing, which you realize with the 737, now it's even worse with COVID. So do you now go and look at entering a new market? That decision has impact on the worth of your future company potentially. Should we extend payment terms for all of our customers or some of our customers? Is our value proposition still relevant? The value proposition that was relevant back in January may be challenged today, and you're having to rethink it. So each of these questions are ones that you have to think in terms of not only how do I navigate it today, but what is the impact on my business going forward? So for some of you on the webinar locally, I've done, when we used to meet face-to-face in the good old days, I have reviewed my recommended campaign, which is a 5-step campaign for how to prepare a business for future exit optimization. And one of the graphics I shared during that workshop, and very relevant during COVID-19, is this one here. And that is, there's two mindsets with preparing your business for future exit. One mindset is simply preparing to exit. The other is preparing to optimize at exit, optimize your value or your worth of the company at exit. The owner on the left is unfortunately the majority of business owners, and they wake up one day and they make the decision that they're going to sell their business. And that sets off a chain of events, which hopefully leads to them being able to exit their business. But unfortunately, too often what happens is they realize they didn't prepare their business to excite future acquirers, which is then reflected in the valuation. And they also realize that they were not prepared for the due diligence, or what I fondly refer to as the proctology exam. And they realize then that they went to market too soon and they are not pleased. And what a horrible time to be displeased in your life, which is an event that should be euphoric for you. Over on the right, this business owner who is thinking in terms of optimizing their exit one day and being euphoric is ultimately going to take the same 6 steps as the company owner on the left, but they are inserting 5 additional steps that are going to help them prepare themselves personally, prepare their organization, and prepare the overall business to excite a future acquirer and have a much more likelihood of optimizing the value of their business, the worth of their business at exit, and be euphoric at that time. COVID-19 is not a time to put steps 1 through 5 on hold. As I said a few minutes ago, you will toggle back and forth between protecting the worth of your business, but you're also going to be looking for opportunities to build the worth of your business, which enables and supports steps 1 through 5. So let's go from 100,000 feet and let's start to jump into getting granular, and let's start to jump into me giving you suggested actions that you should be, could be considering during this time. So the screen in front of you is simply titled Playbook, From Crisis Through to a New Normal. In this playbook, there's three phases to a company at any given time. Our companies are either operating at a time of crisis. Crisis is when you're in a free fall. Crisis is when you feel like you're out of control. Crisis is when you feel like you have more uncertainty than you do certainty. And clearly, that is where the vast majority of our businesses are to yet this day. The next major phase of a business is what I refer to as catch your breath. This is the period where the crisis is not fully over, but you feel like it's either the eye of the storm, so you are able to catch your breath, or you are at least seeing a little bit of temporary stability so that you can give a little bit more forward thinking to your business. Then the third phase is back to normal. Now, we all know right now there is really no back to the old normal that we knew back in January, just 90 days ago. There is now a new normal. So for any business owner, you want to be thinking in terms of there's generally three phases at a macro level, and where is my business in at any given time? Now, today, most of our businesses are either operating in crisis mode or we are in the catch your breath mode. I don't think any of us are aware of too many companies that are truly feel like they're operating back in the new normal, probably none, but everybody is either in crisis or catch your breath. So let's walk through now some very specific steps, recommendations that I would ask you to consider in your playbook as you think about navigating COVID-19, or as I unfondly refer to it as Coronageddon. So let's start with the playbook as it relates to the crisis phase. In the playbook, the title of this section should be led off with these two elements. During the crisis stage that, again, many of us are in, to protect the worth of your business, you need to think to yourself constantly, cash is king, leadership is ace. Cash is king, leadership is ace. That is the emphasis of the crisis stage in your playbook in protecting your worth. Now, the first piece is having a cash flow projection and modeling tool. Now, I know for some of you, you may be saying, yep, Larry, I've got that. And I'm assuming that we've all got that in place by now because it is an essential piece to navigating a crisis. But what I would encourage you to think about, if you're already not doing it, is use your cash flow projection and modeling tool with a broader group of your leadership team or a broader group of your advisors, because a well-structured cash flow projection tool, and I'm talking about a weekly cash ending balance projection tool, a well-structured tool is a wonderful tool to facilitate team thinking, team action. So if you're just using your tool today for yourself and maybe your financial manager, that alone is great. But to make it even stronger, I'd recommend you think about adding some others to your weekly brainstorm on that. The next benefit of having this cash flow projection tool is to run some of your decisions that you're having to make through that tool. One of the business owners I was with a week ago said to me, my biggest customer is asking me now to give them 120-day payment terms. What do you think? And my comment was, well, one of the first things we want to do is run that through the model. What does that make the rest of your business look like? And that will contribute to helping us make this decision. The other tactical suggestion I would give you while we're in this section of the playbook is your cost area approval levels back in January and February may not be appropriate for your business today. Meaning, should you rethink your internal approval and authority levels for spending levels for your employees to make sure that the right people are truly deciding what is an essential expense right now and what may be able to be eliminated or deferred. So as an example, who gets to approve overtime? in your business right now? Well, during a crisis, that approval level most likely needs to change. Who gets to decide on what level of supplies or materials might be purchased? You might want to look and revisit your authority levels in place, at least through the crisis and even through your catch your breath phase, and temporarily change those authority levels. So everything that we've talked about there is under the concept of cash is king, which we all know that. Now, leadership is ace. If cash is king, leadership is the ace. During the crisis phase, especially now during COVID-19, please assess the leadership style of the key leaders of your business. So what do I mean by that? A lot of leaders do a very good job being in the office, calling various meetings through the day, getting people into the conference room, walking into somebody's office, giving direction, deploying somebody, and that leadership style has worked for them and for the company. But now through COVID-19 or through a crisis, you might have people that are on staggered shifts. You might not have all the people in the office every day. You might have people working remotely. Well, if that's the case, there needs to be an adjustment to the leadership style. Some managers are very good. Some leaders are very good at management by walking around. Well, that's very difficult to do right now if you have remote people. So don't assume that your leadership style that worked well for you up until February of this year is working effectively for you today. The next thing you do during a crisis stage to protect the worth of your business is to reevaluate who has a seat at your leadership table. So for instance, right now, is your IT partner, do they have a seat at your leadership team through this crisis? Network security is key. It's always key, but it's even more key right now with people working from home. Does your HR advisor or your HR partner, do they have a seat right now at the leadership table? If they don't, you could be missing an opportunity for more effective and efficient decision making, especially in the area of human resources, where right now there's so much coming at us as business owners, you don't want to lag in how that information is flowing. Some companies will go to the point of a crisis team to manage through a crisis. That's a viable option as well. But what I recommend and what I used to do with my businesses is just think, what ad hoc members do I want to add to help us through this time? The last thing in your playbook that I would recommend at a high level to show strong leadership and protect the worth of your business is don't confuse quantity of communications with quality of communications. There's a huge difference between the two. I mean, all of us are getting deluged now with emails from different organizations, and I think they feel really good about their communications when really all they're hitting us with is quantity and not quality. So with your customers, make sure that you're not deluging them during a crisis with quantity of communication. Look for quality and ensure during the crisis that they know what your operational status is. Not every city, not every state across the country is defining essential business the same way. Not everybody's interpreting it the same way. So don't make your customers wonder whether you're open or closed. Don't make them wonder if you're fully operational or only partially operational. Quality of communication will let them know that. Leadership is ace with your employees. During a non-crisis time, a more dictatorial management style may work with your team. But during the time of a crisis, employees want to be able to have more two-way dialogue with their leadership. Well, they always want more two-way dialogue with their leadership, but no more greater time than during a crisis. So as you think about your quality of interaction with your employees, especially the remote ones right now, make sure you're thinking in terms of quality of dialogue with them. So now let's stay in the crisis mode, unfortunately, but let's talk about some things that you could be doing at the build your company worth level. The first is part of a campaign that I created, which is called Bank Your Moment. Bank Your Moment is simply knowing which decisions you are trying to make and knowing which ones will have impact on the future worth of your company. And if they will, invest the time and energy into those decisions, because if you do, it could reward you handsomely with a nice dividend in the future when you go to exit your business, versus those decisions that you're wasting your time on because you didn't run them through a quick filter of whether they will really impact the worth of your company. So during a crisis phase, in looking to build your company worth, make sure you have the right effective filter to run your decisions through so that you can apply appropriate time to those that are going to impact future worth, and accordingly invest the time to do it versus those that are not, and don't give them the attention or don't give them the a lot of energy and time. The other thing that you want to do to look to build your worth is any of these decisions that you're having to make, after you wear your sets of glasses, take your glasses off and put on the future glasses of a future banker, a future investor, a future acquirer, and say, how would they look at this decision that I am making right now, and would it alter that decision in any way? The next piece of building your worth is how you manage your strategy for your business. Up until January, you were working a strategy, whether the strategy is in your head or whether your team has the strategy on a piece of paper. And you heard me say a few minutes ago that cash is king, leadership is ace, strategy is the queen in the deck of cards. And right now, during a crisis in your playbook, there needs to be an element that says, go look at your strategy, look at the initiatives, and see what reprioritization needs to take place. Which initiatives should truly stand down for a little while to give you some resources to protect your business? And are there any initiatives that you could continue along with that allow you to continue building the worth of your company? As an example, many of you are participating or hoping to participate in the PPP program, the Payroll Protection Plan. Well, that may mean you're keeping some employees on your payroll that maybe you wouldn't have kept otherwise. Look at your strategic plan. See if there is anybody that can be repurposed for a week, 2 weeks, or a month or more to help you have confidence that you are moving forward some important element of your overall strategy, so that even during a crisis, you could be building worth. Now, the other key element in your playbook to build the worth during your business: don't assume that all your team members, especially your key managers, are aligned with you on what the priorities are today. You just don't want them going, well, our priority is to survive. Okay, that's great, but what are the top 3 to 5 subcategories during the crisis? Make sure that you are aligned with your team. Don't assume that your team has reconfigured priorities on their own. If they did and they are aligned with you, great, you're in great shape. But don't assume it. Meet with your team as soon as possible. Have a phone call with them and say, folks, let's talk about the top 3 to 5 priorities right now and see if you're aligned. The last comment I'll make at a high level about building your worth, and this also has a protect your worth element to it as well. Make sure these decisions that you're making through the crisis don't hurt what is actually a core competence of your business, or don't hurt the value proposition as you deliver it for your business. So, for instance, you don't want to all of a sudden go off and chase a new order from a new customer that actually is going to require a different engineering competence than you have. It may distract your current core competence as an engineering organization and that distraction could hurt your core business. So make sure under this strategy review that you're going to be doing through your crisis, make sure that all decisions align with your strategy and align with your core competence. And a quick side note, a lot of people believe that core competence is what your company is good at. That's not really the true definition of core competence. Core competence definition is more like, does it support the mission of my company? Do my customers understand the capability, and are they willing to pay, even pay a premium for it? And is it something that is not easily replicatable by a competitor, either by buying a piece of equipment or stealing one of my employees? So a little bit of a side note there in terms of core competence, but it's a good exercise for every company to go through, not now, not during the crisis, but later to go through that. So what we just went through is at 100,000 feet in your playbook, protecting your worth, cash is king, leadership is ace, building your worth, banker moment, strategy is queen. Now, let's go to catch your breath. Some of you on the webinar this morning, by the mere fact that you were able to find a little bit of time, maybe says you feel like you're catching your breath right now. You know the crisis isn't over, but you feel like at least you're a little bit more in control. So let's hit on some of the things that I'd be recommending you do here. Firstly, the old adage, ask old questions, get old answers. Now is the time to be thinking with your salespeople and your supply chain people. What new questions could we and should we be asking of the outside world so that we may learn something new? Ask your suppliers, hey, what's hitting you? What trends are you seeing? Maybe they'll confirm the ones that you're seeing. Maybe they'll give you a heads up on one that you're not seeing yet. Rethink some of the questions that you're asking your customers. Ask them what trends are hitting them. Ask them what new headaches have shown up in the last few weeks or a couple of months. You might hear something that either helps you protect the worth of your business, or you might hear something that actually gives you a chance to build the worth of your company. The next, during catch your breath, protect your worth. Do a value proposition check. Let's say back in January, your value proposition to your customers was, we are the low-cost provider. Well, in March, maybe their issue was access to a product. Price wasn't their issue. They needed the product. Your value proposition suddenly doesn't make as much sense to them. So rethink whether your value proposition needs to be in the short term modified. And of course, because COVID could change things for a lot of us forever, we may need to think about the value proposition longer term. A couple of very sub-tactical items to think about. Think about your quoting and proposal strategy right now. A lot of companies have very fixed, ingrained, even templated proposals that you're sending out to customers as we speak. Is it effective today in the messaging and the value that you're saying you can deliver to a customer? Is it as relevant today as it was just 90 days ago? Make sure your proposals going out have been modified if they need to be to reflect the crisis that we're going to. The next thing is think about your pricing strategy. Maybe your pricing strategy right now needs to be modified. And I'm not saying pricing strategy as in lower your pricing. Maybe there's some opportunities to raise prices in certain areas because customers now just desperately need something and they're willing to pay a premium for it. Lastly, look at your no bids that you're currently no bidding. Maybe there's a increased speed of no bid requests, and it could be indications of something that customers would like you to do for them. Maybe you should consider doing it. Yes, put it through the filter of what will this do to the worth of my business, but make sure that your team is conveying to you, hey, we are still continuing to no bid these things, or these are the types of things we're getting requests for. The last comment is look at your lost bids. Go back to December, January. If you lost a bid, revisit it with the customer because they may have awarded it to somebody that's in Europe or in Mexico and some of them have been closed through, are now closed through COVID-19. So go back and revisit your lost bids and see if you can't recapture one. Capture your COVID costs. If the government offers tax breaks, don't a year from now kick yourself because you weren't capturing the costs associated with this. The fact that you're buying lots of cleaning supplies, the fact that your cleaning crew is working many more hours, the fact that you're having to stop some of your team from working and huddle them for doing COVID meetings. Capture those costs because there could be tax breaks, but also because you want to be able to present them in a future to an acquirer as one-off from normal operating costs. The other element is capture the learnings that you're going through. Don't forget, our job as business executives is to protect and build the worth of our companies. We need playbooks to do that. So make sure that the learnings that you're getting now from COVID-19, while they're fresh in your mind, capture them, because there will be another pandemic, folks. It's not like we're one and done. Now let's jump up to building the worth of your company. And what are the steps that I would recommend there? First is a wonderful expression. It's not mine, but my kudos to the people that came up with it. Data is the new oil. That means the data in your company right now, for instance, your customer data, your customer purchasing data. Don't assume that what that data told you up until January of this year is still accurate. If you have access to anybody that can analyze your data, build some sorting tables, look at your data and see if your customer buying behaviors have suddenly changed in the last 2 months. Customers may have been buying a lot of widget A from you. Now they're not buying much A, they're buying widget C. What's going on there? You want to know why. Maybe customers are suddenly buying widget A and they're combining it with widget D. That could be a new trend that you want to know about, because it may be an opportunity. It also may be a need to make some modification in your business. So please, right now, if you're in your catch-your-breath phase, let data tell you some things as far as what's playing out right now. The next major piece of your playbook in this section of building your worth, my comment to business owners is, even before COVID-19, you have to decide as a business owner, am I taking steps to avoid being disrupted, and am I looking for opportunities to be the disruptor? This is a wonderful time during COVID-19 to be asking yourself that question. Make sure that you are taking steps to avoid being disrupted, but also look for opportunities. Especially by now, you're going to start asking new questions of your outside world. See if it could actually help you find opportunities to be a disruptor. The third element of building worth during this catch your breath phase is kitten or lion. And what do I mean by that? You want to start determining and planning for when a normal starts to come back, when a new normal starts to feel like it's ahead of, in front of us. Is your business going to come back like a purring kitten, or is it going to roar back like a lion? You want to be prepared from a cost perspective and or a resource perspective, depending on which one you think is going to happen. You don't want the new normal to begin and suddenly find yourself getting flooded with purchase orders for a particular product and find that you are unable to meet the demand because of all the changes that you made during COVID-19, and your ramping up is just taking way too long. Those customers may then have to go find another supplier. So I encourage you to give thought to how is your business going to come back, and is it going to come back slowly and over time? And if that's the case, then your cost structure will be accordingly. Or is it going to roar back, and what do you need to do to prepare for that? So now let's go to the final phase. The final phase we're all desperately hoping is weeks away. We don't know if it's months away. We don't know when it is yet, but that is back to some sort of a normal, a new normal, where we start to feel like we have more certainty than we do uncertainty. So under the protect your worth phase, culture, culture, culture is the first thing to be doing in the new normal to protect the worth of your company. In my career, I've worked with a lot of businesses, and I have to tell you, I find that 70 to 80% of the businesses have culture challenges greater than they have strategic plan challenges. So when you're back to some normalcy, you want to make sure that you are building a culture that is going to enable the worth of your business in the eyes of the culture. You want to look for things like, is my team too internally centric? Do we have enough customer centricity about our thinking that can speak to culture? Do we have a culture of accountability? When somebody says they're going to do something, or when we set a target date, do we do it as a business? If you don't, it's most likely not a bad plan. It's more likely a culture of not feeling the need or the accountability to execute. Are key people empowered to make decisions, or does everything have to run through bottlenecks of approval processes, which slows things down? All those things speak to culture, and culture can build the worth of your business in the eyes of a future acquirer. And during all times, but certainly during the time of the normal periods, you really want to invest time and energy in your culture. And you're getting a real good sense for your culture right now, even through COVID-19. The next element is, during the normal period, during some times of stability, you need early warning signs that a crisis could be brewing. So you want to put in place leading indicators for your business. Now, notice I said leading indicators. Too many business owners are monitoring their business using lagging indicators. Lagging indicators are somewhat yesterday's news. Lagging indicators are things that you did weeks and months ago that you're now seeing in your business. New orders or bookings is a lagging indicator. Shipments out the door or services provided, that's a lagging indicator. In your playbook during normal times, you want leading indicators. So for instance, in aerospace and defense, it might be monitoring the build rate of a platform that you're on, and knowing what the gestation period is from when they build that plane or that missile to when your product is going to be needed. That could be a leading indicator. If you see that build rate going down, you know that 6 months or a year later, your business may feel it. In aerospace and defense, because of the long gestation cycle, your proposals, your number of proposals leaving your building every day or every week, that could be a leading indicator because you know some of those proposals may not actually get awarded for a year out. Well, if your proposals start to go up dramatically and you maintain your same hit rate, guess what? Your future business is going to have a wonderful upside. But the opposite can be occurring. So please just make sure that in your playbook to protect the worth of your company, that you have leading indicators as well as lagging. Then I want to just touch on building the worth of your business is the following two things. When you look at your strategic plan, make sure that it's clear beyond just the current year what you're going to do to excite the future investor or future acquirer of your business. Don't wait until you go to sell your business to find out what it was going to take to excite them. Make sure that your strategic plan has that identified today. The other big suggestion in the normal time to build the worth of your company is to do a due diligence readiness assessment even a couple of years before you go to exit your business. The surprise, the shock to many business owners is when they go to exit their business and the due diligence begins, they are astounded at the depth that the acquirer is going to look at their business, which is why I called it before a proctology exam. You want to make sure a year or two before that you've walked through a typical due diligence process to see where you might have holes because you may need some time to fix that hole. So then when it is go time, when it is time to exit your business, you're proud that you can stand up to due diligence. Lastly, and I want to start to wrap up, earlier I mentioned some of the questions that you are facing today as businesses. And I don't want to touch base on every one of these, but I do want to grab a couple of them and help you bridge in your mind the impact that the decision is going to have on the worth of your business. So I'll grab the first one as an example. Should we add that new market? Should we go off and leave aerospace and defense? Should we go over and enter a new market segment? Well, the first natural question is, if we do that, is it going to be additive or accretive to our company profit? You don't want something that's going to drag your company profit down. Now, in the short-term survival mode, you may say, I'm just going to grab it short-term. Okay, that may make sense. But longer-term, understand the impact it might have on the value of your business. But look at your acquirer potentially looking at it. So as an example, the exit multiple of an aerospace company supplier is not the same as an automotive company parts supplier. So if in this COVID-19, you were to be contacted by somebody from the automotive industry saying, I'd like to buy a million widgets from you, all right, you may want to sell them for current cash flow, but after COVID is over, you want to sit there and go, the acquirer may look at that and go, I don't like that you added a meaningful piece of your business. Your pie chart as a company is now automotive. That's more commodity. Maybe we don't have as much interest in placing an optimal value on your business. The other one I would grab off of here is the word stickiness. Should we add a new product or a new service? Or should we adjust our pricing? Aerospace and defense uses the word sticky. Is your product or your service sticky with its customers? Meaning the customers pretty much only have you to come to get that product or the service. If that is the case, if you are in a sole source position because of your unique design or your unique supply chain or something that's very difficult to replicate, that puts you in a sticky position that increases the worth of your company. So as you're navigating COVID-19, you are looking for opportunities to potentially increase the stickiness of your business. And by doing so, you are increasing the worth of your business. So in summary, we've kind of gone through a lot of stuff here in the last 40 minutes. I want you to just take away from this. Know which phase your company is in. Crisis, catch your breath, or the new normal. I think for almost all of us, it's either still the crisis or at least catch your breath. Think about these decisions that you're making right now and play the movie forward on each one. Give the ones that are going to impact the worth of your company the due attention that they need. And then the three mantras to have in mind, cash is king, leader is ace, and strategy is queen. So bottom line is just keep protecting and building your worth because it should never get put on hold. So I mentioned some templates. I mentioned some things that, you know, I'd be helpful. Email me. I'll be glad to send you some templates or tools or whatever. So I thank everybody for this opportunity. And Rob, I'll hand it back to you.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you, Larry. Really appreciate it. We have a couple of questions on the chat line here that I wanted to address with you. One question was, you know, in relation to some of the content, you know, does the size of the company matter in some of the steps you might take to optimize your organization?
The steps are still the same. The size of the company may come down to a decision. So a smaller company is probably making more survival type decisions potentially. And that's okay to make a decision just for pure survival, but knowing that hopefully when normal starts to build back again, you may have to either reverse or modify a decision to get back on track of building the worth of your company in the eyes of a future acquirer. But yeah, the steps, the process, the playbook, quite frankly, it's pretty identical.
Yeah, makes sense. Question, you had some information earlier in your slide deck about how ominous this can be, and maybe a way to maybe sell your organization. Is there any recommendations on the best way to find or market to a strategic buyer?
So the best deals are done over relationships, meaning you want to try to actually identify who could be potential acquirers of your business and find a way to navigate building a relationship with them. You know, back with my company, when I first took it over in 2012 as the CEO of a privately held business, we did what I call coffee chats. And we did identify some folks that were going to be potential acquirers 3-4 years later. And we found opportunities to talk to the right person and simply say, hey, we're not for sale. We won't be for a few years. But we believe when we do, we might have reason to talk with each other then. And it would give us a chance to learn more about how they placed value on businesses, what they were looking for. And it also allowed us a chance to tease them a little bit, get them to really want us when the day came that we would exit. And it built a relationship. And deals done over relationships where the buyer really believes they truly understand the company and the culture, those deals get better multiples than the ones that just suddenly a book shows up on your desk and somebody's, you know, got a broker and hoping to get rid of their business.
Yeah, indeed. No, that's good feedback. And I know we'll be challenged more with this epidemic and how we do interface as humans in the business world. I think there'll be some new norms there. You know, as it relates, Larry, in terms of the new normal, it's likely the aerospace and defense industry will have a lasting consequence to this pandemic. I think there is a new normal in the industry, and I'm just curious from your vantage point, you know, when you talk about strategy and getting into maybe some new products or maybe getting out of products, it seems today more than ever, with the impact of the airline industry and where Boeing is, maybe with the bailouts and Airbus is now shuttering and reducing orders. You know, what are your thoughts about building that cohesive strategy? I know a lot of times strategy tends to be on the shelf. Vision and mission statements tend to be wallpaper. What are your thoughts about kind of coalescing around maybe a refined strategy?
Yeah, so it's a good question. And ultimately, where it all starts with is knowing what your end in mind is. What is your end game? Strategy is just a pathway to your end game. And unfortunately, too many business owners jump into their strategy as if it is the game. And unless your strategic planning starts with what are we trying to accomplish longer term? What does good look like at a future state? Once you've got an idea of that, and it should be as tangible as possible, not just, well, I'd like to sell in 4 years and I'd like to get good value for my business. No, that's ineffective. You want to identify what good looks to me is to sell in 4 years. I'd like, $50 million cash at close, no earnout program. Now I've got some general outline of what good looks like. Where's my business today? And then what's the gap that I've got? What's my value today? What do I want it to be in the future? What's the gap? Now your strategic plan is to close that gap. And as you're closing that gap to your future state, you're hopefully increasing the gap between you and your competitors, which is, you know, your value proposition, your unique value proposition, and that starts to command a higher multiple of your business when you go to exit. So it all starts with what's your end in mind, and strategy is just your path for filling the gap.
Well, great. Well, thank you again, Larry. Very insightful. I think on behalf of the team, I want to thank you for your preparation for this session.
Thank you.
And, very insightful. Wealth of knowledge before we adjourn, like to just mention, we will continue this journey on Zoom, and I hope those of you that are online, we have over 45 people online, so I want to thank you for your participation. We have other topics coming up here in the next month, and we have more beyond May that we're already lining up with other organizations. So what I would encourage you to do is go to our website, which is aerospacedefenseforum.org. You'll learn more information about the organization. We do record these, including today's, and you'll be able to find that information via that link. But in April, we have, Accounting for Change, Navigating the Coronavirus Headwinds. That will be a national chapter session. On May 6th, we have the legal aspects of dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. And then on May 20th, we have Successfully Emerging from Distress. And then on May 21st, we have the Smart Factory. So a lot of obviously common themes relative to the epidemic. We hope that's useful to you as you navigate your business and organizations going forward. So I want to thank you again for your participation, and special thanks to Larry as well. Thank you, and have a wonderful and safe weekend. Take care.